The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Repercussions of yesterday's decisions taken by EU leaders to cut off Russian supplies of oil may be taking effect, as some petrol prices here today have risen beyond the €2 a litre mark. Now, this comes as the Taoiseach also said yesterday that prices are going to continue to climb this year, and the government has no idea by how much. So, as motorists are hit yet again by soaring costs, is there anything at all that can be done? Is it time to encourage the use of more public transport? Well, I'm joined by Paddy Common, Head of Communications with AA Ireland, and by Ger Herbert, motoring correspondent for the Sunday Independent. Good morning and welcome to you both. Paddy, first of all, I mean, the AA is an organisation dedicated to the private motorist. So what do you say to them this morning when it's going to cost more and more to fill their tank?
Yeah, Pat, good morning. We can certainly see from what's happened over the last few days that the prices are now at a record level. We are at a record that we've seen since we started taking records back in 1991 for an average price. And look, those motorists who are listening are now paying on average about €500 more per year just for fuel than they were a year ago, about €700-800 more than they were 2 years ago. So the news is poor, and unfortunately it's not getting any better at the moment. You know, the real crux of this is that if you're living in Dublin, if you're living in an urban area and you have really good public transport options, and we've seen reduction in prices of those options, you know, it's a better time to start moving into those. The problem is that for people living in rural areas, lots of your listeners don't have the other options, and then that's where they run into difficulties.
The question of reducing prices, I mean, the government has said to reduce the VAT is problematic, excise less so, they've done that. So is there anything they can do? I mean, do people just have to suck it up in some way, or are we now looking for political action to, as Sinn Féin were talking about yesterday, putting €100 into the pockets of people who earn less than 30,000 and €200 into the pockets of those who earn less than 60,000, or was it vice versa? Anyway, that's their proposal. Put money into people's pockets. Is that the solution?
I think there's a solution, you know, possible solution for people who are struggling to make ends meet. And that's where the difficulty lies. There's a real dichotomy, because there are people, and we hear from them all the time, who are now starting to make decisions about what journeys they take, you know, be it for, you know, taking care of elderly relatives or bringing the kids to and from school because of the increased price in fuel. So, you know, the government did reduce the duty. It was pretty much absorbed straight away. Is there more scope to do that again? Potentially. VAT obviously is, as they say, would have an instant effect, but there doesn't seem to be an appetite to do that. You know, I think it's not a long-term solution to just keep reducing prices and fuel. You know, as I said before, I think we just need to really look at how we can improve the options for people outside of the pale, if you like.
All right, Ger Herbert, if people have to drive, is there anything at all they can do to reduce their fuel bills?
It's a very difficult one at the moment, Pat, to be honest. I mean, there's no end in sight to these prices, as Paddy said. And it's not just, you know, the current attempt to reduce the use of Russian oil. There's, you know, the war in Ukraine obviously has caused problems, coronavirus, pandemic recovery, and there's currency issues as well. And the problem with these prices is they're not only taking money out of motorists' pockets, but, you know, they're increasing costs for companies, and so it's all going to be passed on to the consumer. As obviously, the options for not using your car are, you know, are pretty thin on the ground if you live in rural Ireland. That is the biggest issue.
But, Ger, I mean, there are things you can do. I remember Eamon Ryan was laughed at for suggesting, you know, that people indoors wear a sweater instead of, you know, having the heat turned on full blast. Maybe driving at a lower speed, you know, at 80 kilometres an hour rather than 100 on the M50 or 120 on a motorway to save fuel. He was scoffed at the time, but maybe he was making a bit of sense.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Pat. If you slow down, you will conserve your fuel. So going at a slower rate on the motorway particularly will have a significant impact, doing 100 kilometres an hour as opposed to 120. Shopping around for fuel within, you know, in your own area, there's no point in going too far. But, you know, watching prices closely, because a cent or two in the difference is going to make a difference. Also reducing weight in your car, consolidating your trips. There's no doubt about that. But, Pat, people are doing these things anyway. These prices have been increasing since February, and they've been soaring since then. So I think people are making those choices and make those cuts already. So I'm not sure how much more, you know, your average motorist or even your average consumer at the moment with the high cost of living. I mean, we have inflation rates at a 40-year high. I'm not sure how much consumers can really change. I think they're cutting out any of those, you know, luxuries, or they're cutting out those excess trips at the moment as it is.
Now, you can moderate your driving style, and I'm not just talking about your top speed on a motorway, because someone doing 80 on a motorway and choosing to do it in the outside lane can cause so much frustration and anger. But moderating your driver style, I mean, I've seen boy racers in my neighbourhood, and there's no hesitation to put the pedal to the metal in their cases. So those kind of people have not moderated their style. But there is a way, isn't there, of conserving fuel?
Oh yeah, I mean, the smoother you drive, the more you're going to conserve your fuel. So no sharp braking, no sharp acceleration. This will just, you know, literally eat up your fuel. So the smoother you can drive, the more you're going to conserve it. But as I said, Pat, I have spoken to so many motorists about this over the last few months, and people have learned this. They have already incorporated this and changed their driving style and modified their ways. Because, you know, there's nobody that isn't being impacted by these costs at the moment. So that's why I just think putting the onus back on the motorists in terms of what they can do. If the public transport isn't there and they have refined their driving style and they've cut back on their trips, I'm not sure what else they can do. Yeah. And I mean, there still is the issue that 86 cents per litre is paid to the government in terms of tax if you're paying 2 litres in fuel. So, I mean, while they will not want to do this and they will not want to revisit excise and the reduction on that or whatever, you know, there is scope there. If they want to.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the higher the base price is, the more VAT they take in. So therefore, they will be, if consumption remains at the same level, they'd be making more money for the exchequer simply because of the high base price, which attracts the VAT. So what are they going to do with that excess money? That's the question.
Exactly. And I mean, there's no end in sight at the moment to these record prices. So this is just going to continue. And where it's going to end, who knows?
Now, there's one other thing I'd put to you both, and having recently come against the traffic on a motorway and having looked at what was going on in the other lane at commuter time, and I don't know how people do it every day, the number of people with one single occupant in a car. The carpooling has got to be a way forward for people to save huge amounts on fuel.
There's no reason why HR departments can't do this, Pat. They could literally just map journeys and encourage people, maybe through, you know, parking spaces within work, saying, you know, we'll only give those to people who come in with 2, 3 or 4 people in a car. I mean, single car occupancy is one of the biggest issues that we have and one of the biggest contributors to congestion. And we need to do something to encourage people to carpool.
Paddy, that is a notion, you know, two minimum in a car. You know, there is an idea in some jurisdictions whereby you have multiple occupancy lanes and then you have single occupancy lanes, and that single occupancy lane is very slow, whereas the multiple occupancy lane for cars speeds along because they get priority.
Yeah, it operates in the United States, especially, and obviously there's people who try and break the rules by putting mannequins and things in the passenger seat, but we wouldn't encourage that. But no, look, anything like that that will encourage people. There seems to be a hesitancy. I don't know whether it's a national hesitancy to share their cars. I know people certainly, even with public transport, were a little bit hesitant about getting back into public transport after COVID. But look, it is something that needs to be looked at, because, as you say, you only have to look around on the M50 in the morning and see single occupant vehicles and the amount of space that they're taking up compared to a bus or otherwise. There just needs to be those incentives brought in.
All right, Paddy, thank you very much for joining us. Paddy Common, Head of Communications with the AA, and Ger Herbert, motoring correspondent with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.